Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we invite women of faith in a ministry to share their experiences and wisdom to help prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings. I am your host, Sarah McCullough, and this is episode 34 with special guest, Commissioner Jolene Hodder. Commissioner Jolene is the Territorial President of Women's Ministries in the Western Territory. Commissioner Jolene and her husband just returned to the U.S. last year after serving overseas for 11 years, eight of those years in the country of Kenya. Commissioner Jolene was able to witness and see the impact of the Salvation Army's Women of Worth program, which exists to elevate women out of dire circumstances by educating and empowering women to start their own businesses through a microfinance program. This program not only provides loans, but educational opportunities and support and accountability through weekly meetings. As we'll discuss in the episode, at the Arise and Shine Women's Conference, we will fundraise for the Worth program throughout the weekend. This is an inspirational episode. Enjoy our conversation. Commissioner Jolene Hodder, welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Thank you, Sarah. It's great to be here.
So you are the Territorial President for Women's Ministries in the Western Territory. One of your previous appointments is at International Headquarters and before that in Kenya, correct?
Yes, actually I've had two appointments in Kenya. Yes, one before International Headquarters and one after.
Okay, very good. So that's significant because we at our Rise and Shine Women's Conference in October, we have selected a SASO, Salvation Army World Services Office project called the Worth Program, and that takes place in Kenya. So we know you've had some exposure and experience in this program and working and among the women and the workers, and so we wanted to ask you on so that our Arise and Shine delegates and our podcast listeners could understand and get that firsthand voice of what the Worth program really is. So, but before we launch into that, why don't you take a few moments and let our listeners know who you are?
Okay. Well, as you said, I'm Jolene Hodder, and I am the Territorial President of Women's Ministries in the USA Western Territory. I love my job. There's nothing better than women's ministries. I have served internationally. I was actually out of the country for 11 years, and eight of that was in Kenya. Half of that was in Kenya East and the other half in Kenya West. I've only been back in the United States about a year and a half, and still getting settled in to this role and to this culture. And I am married, and I have one beautiful daughter, and I am a new grandma.
Yay! Congratulations.
Yay! My grandson is 4 months old, so my whole world right now revolves around him.
Oh, yeah.
And, gosh, I don't know what else to tell you other than I travel nonstop, and I'm just thrilled to be in my office today so that I can do this podcast.
Oh, well, we're thankful that your schedule was able to make time for us. So thank you again for this. So, well, you know, to respect your time because you are a busy leader, let's just launch in and learn a bit about the Worth program. So what exactly is Worth?
It's an amazing empowerment program that's designed specifically for women. It's actually a microbanking program that empowers women to lift themselves and each other out of poverty. I guess the best way to explain it is that members are required to make small saving deposits at weekly meetings, and then the group's fund grows to the point where the members can start taking loans, and they use those loans to start small businesses. It's really a holistic approach because they not only get help with starting their small businesses, but the Salvation Army also teaches them how to read and how to write, and they give them numeracy training and other training in small businesses and really anything that they need to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. For instance, Worth will even give them training on health issues and community issues, whatever they might need to be successful, not only in their business, but in their lives and in their communities. So it's a great program.
So what do the women that are a part of the program, how do they, is there like a qualifying thing to enter the program? Is there a waiting list? How does that part work? Do you know?
Yeah, well, the Salvation Army, when it first came into the community, it just started these groups. And you can only have 30 women max in the groups. And so they just started these groups just right off. But they go in 9-month cycles.
Okay.
So after a 9-month cycle, some ladies drop out, although that's rare. Mm-hmm. Some ladies will drop out to do something else. And then another woman can step in. I have been in communities where it's at the end of the 9-month cycle, and there are literally hundreds of women outside of the door hoping and praying to have a spot in one of these groups. So, that's how you get on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, whenever the Army can raise enough money to actually start another group, they will start a completely different group of 30 women.
So it sounds like it's kind of self-funded from the women. Is that right?
Well, you know, that's what's so exciting about this program, Sarah, is I have been for many, many years involved in microfinancing, where the Salvation Army gives them a loan and ask for that money to be paid back. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that the Army is not very good going to somebody who's already poor and demanding that they pay back the loan. So 9 times out of 10, that money is just lost. But because this is self-funded and the women actually monitor their own bank, their own groups, that the Salvation Army doesn't have to do that. So they all put in a little bit of money, whatever the group decides upon. They make their own rules. They all put in a little bit of money. And then when that money grows, they take out loans, but they self-monitor that money.
Okay.
So it's not, the Salvation Army doesn't have to get involved in going and pulling money out of people. They do it within themselves. So really the only thing the Army pays for is the actual starting of the group, the training.
Okay.
We pay for their locked box, which is their bank. We pay for their paperwork kind of things. Maybe any books that we want to teach them or train them. That's all the Army pays for. And then of course we usually provide a location as well. But once we start it, they maintain it. It creates a culture of self-help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of the Army coming in and throwing money at them and taking care of all their expenses and all their needs, they learn to help each other and to help themselves. And that's why these groups are so popular and continue to grow.
When did Worth begin?
You know, that's really hard because Worth started years and years ago. I know when I was the TPWM in 2013 to 2016 in Kenya East, there were groups there. So I can't tell you exactly when it started, but I do know that when I went back to Kenya in 2006 to 2009, Worth was even better because the Salvation Army had tweaked it. They learned from the earlier program that wasn't as successful. They tweaked it, and now it is just going like wildfire. It is perfect, and everybody wants to get involved in a Worth. Even the men, they're all asking for more Worth groups. So I can't tell you exactly when it started, but I can tell you that as of 2006, it's just been very successful.
Can you name a few of the businesses that have started as a result of Worth?
Oh, yeah. Soap making is a big thing. Husbandry, basket making, which was one of my favorite things to support. Tailoring, brick making, beauty salon. I actually went to a beauty salon that was created simply because of this program. Women grow crops. Women have purchased cows and are providing milk for their communities. Really, anything and everything goes as long as they feel they can make money in their own villages and in their communities.
that's a great transition to the next question I have is, what are some specific outcomes for individual women, for families, and communities as a result of women being a part of Worth?
Well, it's really exciting because, as you just said, you know, it starts with the individual woman. Mm-hmm. And I have many, many stories. Perhaps I don't remember all the names, but I do remember the faces. But there was Margaret, who was 60 years old, and she had HIV/AIDS. Four of her seven children had died, and she herself was, of course, very ill. Her husband didn't have a job. And before Worth, she had to rely on others for food and survival. Sometimes she was able to work in neighboring farms, but, you know, being sick, that wasn't always something that she could do. But a friend invited her to Worth, and she started buying two shares in every meeting. And after 2 months, just after 2 months, she took out a loan, and she started a business selling charcoal. Eventually, she purchased a milking cow, and she actually purchased her own piece of land, which is very unique for a woman in Kenya. And now she's still alive. She's doing much better because she's eating a little bit better. She's able to get some meds, and her children are now going to school. So that just tells you, you know, what just one woman, the change that it has made in her life. But what is exciting is that it not only helps her, but it helps her children. Her marriage is stronger now because her husband is, she's no longer seen as a burden. She is now providing. He's very proud of her. He sings her praises in the marketplace. Her children now are in school, which they weren't before. They're eating healthy. Mm-hmm. But even more than that, you know, when she walks in the village now, she's not a disgrace. She's a businesswoman, and she walks with her head up high. She's become a change. Well, she's not only a changed woman, but she's changing her community. Mm. One thing that these ladies do, which I find exciting, is they not only purchase things for themselves, but they have what they call a community account. And in that, for the community account, they can only spend that money on the needs in their community. So these ladies now not only sending their old children to school, but they're just sending other children to school. They're paying for school uniforms. They're helping supply the local clinic. They're able to sit around together and to decide what they want to support in their own communities. So it's changing in entire villages and entire communities.
Wow. So you said the Salvation Army's primary involvement is that kind of initial startup with providing the resources and even the physical things, the lockbox and so on. Is there any like follow-up from like local officers, or how does that piece work?
Sure. Well, not always, but the majority of the time, these groups are held in the Salvation Army Corps.
Okay.
So, again, not always, because this is for the community. And while there are some Salvationists that are involved, mm-hmm. We even have a lot of Muslims that come to the Salvation Army mm-hmm. for this program, which I find very exciting. So the Corps officers are involved. You have to be very careful because Corps officers, we tend to like to get too involved. Mm-hmm. And so the Corps officers are told that they are just there for spiritual support, but they are not to get involved in any of the business. Salvation Army does not get any of the money from these women. Mm-hmm. These women they're collecting a lot of money, but the Salvation Army keeps their hands off that. Mm-hmm. So we do support them. Of course, the local division, DDWMs, they are all involved and make sure that everything goes smoothly and that all the rules are being upheld. Interestingly enough, this is just a byproduct, but we are also told from the local Corps officers that the tithing is going way up because these ladies now have money. So in a roundabout way, even the Corps are getting a benefit from mm-hmm. this program.
Wow, that's great. Do you see more other women of the community, even women of Muslim faith, are getting involved, are interested? Are we seeing any women's ministries program growth as a result?
You know what? I'm going to say yes, but I don't have any proof of that. Mm-hmm. Again, we're trying to be very careful that the Army does not get too involved in this because it is in a community event. But having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if it has fed into Home League, which, of course, is very big in Kenya.
Right. I was just going to say, I mean, it's the most vibrant in the world.
It is. It is. So I would have to believe that it has made a difference. But I have no proof.
Yeah,
I
there
can't
has
really
to be
say
some overlap, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think so. And it's also interesting to note, Sarah, that even though these Muslim women do come, all the meetings are started with prayer. Mm-hmm. And there sometimes is a little devotional. And the Muslims, they are very respectful of our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so that I find that very exciting. Exciting just to go and to sit in the back of the room and watch.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we just recently, in the last couple weeks, you know, talking about our offering that will take place for Worth, which will take place on Sunday of our conference. And then we also are having a kind of like a steps challenge, like kind of Fitbit style throughout the weekend. And there's an entry fee to be in that. And portion of that will go towards Worth as well.
Excellent.
And we, so in the last couple of weeks, I was saying, we decided, let's set a goal. Let's, you know, put that expectation out there so women that are attending have a real concept of what we're trying to do and how they should plan to participate. So we went back and forth and we said, how about $20 a woman? Let's see if our ladies will respond in that way. And we've had this ongoing goal, our delegate count, to be 2,018 women in 2018. Mm. So, you know, do the math. That's over $40,000.
Whoa.
So that's a goal, you know, like, so we're shooting for it. And what could you see happening in the Worth program with a donation of $40,000?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I haven't been in Kenya for a little while, so I don't really know what that translates to in Kenya. But I can tell you that money goes a long, long way there. And I do know that the Kenya West Territory specifically has been working in four districts over the last 8 years. And their dream is to expand into at least three new areas. And so I know that this money would be able to do at least that if you met your goal. And that would mean more and more and more women would find hope. And more women would be able to care for their families. So I just think that's very exciting. And I know that Kenya West would be over the moon at being able to expand their program.
Awesome. I know you said you're not always good with names, but faces. Does anyone else come to mind that with a story of growth and success and that you could share with our listeners?
Sure. Well, right away, I think of Esther from Kolania. She lived in a grass-thatched hut that leaked horribly during the rains. And her family, large family, depended upon peasant farming, but it wasn't enough to meet their basic needs. And I actually know her because she was always begging to her neighbors. And her husband was extremely abusive as well. Not being able to care for his family and his frustration, he took it out on his wife. But after 4 months, she managed to borrow a loan and she started selling vegetables. And today she actually has her own shop.
Wow.
And her very own shop, and it's always stocked. And her marriage has been restored. And again, her husband supports her business. So she's another success. I think for me, probably the stories that I remember the most are those of the prostitutes, how it has made a difference in their life. You know, these women going from walking through the village with their head down, a disgrace, no hope. Now they're walking through the same village with their head held up high as businesswomen. Another side note that I think is really interesting is these groups of 30 women, they often dress alike. They often have what they would call their uniforms. Mm-hmm. And they all dress alike in beautiful dresses with their hair done up and jewelry on, because they do consider themselves now businesswomen. They're not in rags anymore and walking through the street. And gosh, I can see many faces of the prostitutes whose lives have been completely transformed, who now can walk into church with their head held up high. They're very spiritual, you know, people generally. And to be able to walk into church as a businesswoman and not be disgraced anymore, that's huge for these women. Mm-hmm. And that's what Worth has done for them.
Yeah, the word that comes to mind is dignity. You know, imagining them in their, is it like those, the material that you buy that is a pattern? Do they select one
yes.
of those patterns?
Yes.
And just how dignified, yes. I'm sure they look and they feel and how respected they are. I can just visualize it, how beautiful.
It is. And, you know, it's also a good role model for their children, for the younger ones. I had one prostitute say to me that she was fine with prostitution until her, because she wanted to put her daughter through school and she wanted her daughter to have a life that she'd never had. But when her daughter started selling herself on the streets to support her mom, she said that's when she realized, no, this isn't, you know, I can't do this anymore. I have to find a way out. And Worth has been their way out. And
breaks the cycle.
It does. And what a perfect name for the program, Worth, because it does give these women worth. You know, even there's even groups set up for the handicapped, and there's groups that have come together, those with HIV. They all understand one another, and they can work together to not only change their own situation, but to change the situation of their group and then their whole community.
Yeah, they know each other's specific needs in ways that others may not.
Exactly. And because the Army, when we come in and we help train them, we can train them on helping with them with those specific needs. And it's not always going to be the same for each group. That's why, you know, like attracts like. And it becomes a beautiful opportunity for strength in their weakness and great testimony to the transforming power of Jesus Christ.
Now, my next question, it's a little off subject of Worth, but since you know, like, for example, this month right now that we're in, we had a bonus episode with Commissioner Dawn Heatwall and asked her to share from her, and she has most recently had been a zonal secretary for the Western Hemisphere. Is that right?
Right.
Yes. And so I asked her, what can we learn from the women from other countries? What can women of the U.S. learn from those women? So in your exposure with women in Africa, what can, and specifically Kenya, what can us women of the United States learn from our sisters in Kenya?
You know, it frustrates me quite often when I hear people talking about, you know, the poor people in Kenya. Yes, they do live in poverty, but I got to tell you, they are so rich in other areas. One thing that they are very rich in is community. They support one another. They work together. No man is an island. And I think in the United States, we can learn from that. We can learn to support one another better, to support community, to come together as community. And when we see that somebody has a problem, to not just, you know, throw them money or give them clothing or a handout, but instead come around them and help them come up with a solution and how we can help them in that. I think that's really huge. Mm-hmm. And then another thing is Kenyans are a people of great faith. You know, they have very little, but they trust God every single day to meet their needs, and they believe that God will meet their needs. And I just find that beautiful. In our society here, we have so much, and yet we complain about what we don't have. But my Kenyan sisters wouldn't do that. They celebrate what they do have, and they believe that God will provide anything that they need. A lesson that I need to continually remind myself since I've come back to the United States.
The thought that came to mind is how often women here in the U.S., maybe it's other countries as well, how often we suffer in silence because of some kind of shame we battle with asking for help or appearing maybe inadequate, and we are hesitant to be vulnerable.
Yes. But, you know, for me, that goes right back to women's ministries.
Yeah.
Yep. It goes right back to women need women.
Yes.
And, you know, I know that there are some people who believe that men and women should be equal in all things, and that perhaps women's ministries isn't as relevant today. Well, I completely disagree, because no one but another woman understands some things that I'm going through.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know.
Oh, sorry. Sorry to cut you off.
You go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah, I've gotten a lot of, you know, feedback or pushback, however you want to phrase it, about, you know, why do we have to be segregated by gender? And my response is, you know, there's some unique moments that will happen when women are with women. Things will be shared and said and confessed that wouldn't be said otherwise. And I think the same for men as well. We're always going to censor, maybe not always, but often we will censor what we share because of, I mean, just, I think, obvious reasons. And so I think really special things occur in these gender-specific moments together. And, you know, we meet together mixed every Sunday, right? You know, like, we're often together. So it's not like we're not making time, but we are setting aside these special moments to gather as women. And, you know, the Worth program, for example, it just shows the value of women coming together and supporting each other.
It's so true. You know, who but a woman can understand another woman who's been home all day locked up with her small children?
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, who but another woman can understand all the changes that a woman goes through, you know, during menopause or the scare of breast cancer?
Yeah.
Women need women.
Yeah. And, you know, women understand the struggle that happens in the workplace of maybe being judged for whatever it might be, for coming off too strong, to even getting pregnant. Like, there's a lot of struggle women face in the workplace that we can come around each other and support each other with, because in each unique setting, home, work, church, women face certain discriminations or struggles that we know how to support each other through, or we should know, or should be working towards, I believe.
I completely agree with you. And I think another thing we can learn from our Kenyan sisters is that they celebrate being women. I mean, you know, it's funny. They even have songs about being women, about being a woman. They have songs about a woman's body, which I found a little uncomfortable for me at first, but they even celebrate their body. Whereas here we often criticize our body.
That's true.
Yeah. And they just, again, they celebrate who they are. And to be honest, the men celebrate them as well, because they are who they are.
Mm-hmm. I loved what you said about the husbands, you know, being so proud of their wives when they had these successes. And I think that's such a beautiful example for men worldwide to support their women and their, you know, in a marriage, your success, your partner's success is your success. So that was very encouraging.
Exactly. And yet here in America, it just seems like we're always comparing, you know, we're always competing and comparing.
Yes.
And I don't find that in Kenya. They have a long way to go. Obviously, they're not perfect, and women do need more empowerment there. But there's still a lot of things that we can learn from them.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing that we could share that together. Well, does anything else come to mind about Worth or that exposure to this, you know, Salvation Army internationally? This, for some of our listeners, this is these podcasts, when I get to meet with a few international leaders, is their only exposure to, you know, besides World Services videos and such, to the, you know, the Salvation Army outside of the U.S. So if you have anything else to share, you know, we welcome it. But I think we covered a lot, which was good.
I would like to share perhaps a dream I have for my Kenyan sisters. You know, quite often people send money to Kenya to support them. And that is a very good thing. I think that's very important for those of us that have so much, and to our sisters that have so little in terms of financial ability.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my dream is that my Kenyan sisters would be able to give back to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have money to give. You know, if you ask them to give money, they would give it to you. They'd give you their last shilling.
Mm.
But I don't know. I wish the Kenyan sisters could see that they have something that they could in return give to us. I don't know what it is. When I was there, this was my dream as well. But just so that they don't feel like they're always on the receiving end.
Yeah.
But somehow, someday, we would come up with something that they could do to support their sisters in the United States, mm-hmm. so that they would know that they are rich and that they have so much to give. And that we need something from them as well, that we would appreciate receiving something in return. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah, it does. And I mean, one of the things that came to mind that I don't know if this will go along with your vision and your dream, but, you know, thinking about these women that are our business owners and the Others program came to mind.
Yes.
You know, the ways that we can be consumers of their business. You know, they don't want our charity. They want our business.
Right.
So, like, how can we keep being their customer and consumer, not just to support them, but yes, of course, but to, because we want their product. Does that,
yes,
you know, does that
exactly.
make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense. And I know that April Foster is doing her very, very best to get this message across. And it's not an easy job, because when I was in Kenya, I tried to get involved in helping them provide materials for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably 50% of what they gave me was not the quality that I could send on to the United States. And so I had to reject it. And I found that very difficult to do. And I know these women can't even feed their families.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that very, very frustrating. And also, somebody would make an order of, say, you know, 100 baskets, but then the ladies could not get the materials in their villages. So they would send me an alternative, which, of course, the person that was ordering it didn't want an alternative. So there's a real challenge to that.
Yeah.
So my hat goes off to April Foster, who, in my opinion, works a miracle every single day getting these supplies to America so that we can support our sisters.
Yeah. And actually, when this episode with you airs, the month before, well, April is our guest. So we're learning a lot from the last three guests, with Commissioner Dawn, April coming up, and then you. We're really getting a lot of international exposure and really casting a vision for how our women, you know, and we've got women outside Central Territory that listen to this podcast. So really how all of us can be in prayer for, you know, for April and for the workers, to that God would make a way and supply the needs that are there for different resources or different financial support, and then for more customers, and just how we can really partner as sisters. So this is a really good series we've got going on right now, and I'm excited to air your episode as well.
Wonderful. Well, I just saw April Foster just recently at our National Advisory Board, and I was very impressed with some of the goods that she showed us that are available to purchase. So, gosh, anybody that wants to do some shopping, that's a great place to do it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those scarves they've got coming out soon. And I think those are Bangladesh. So I look forward to seeing what the next big product out of Kenya is.
Oh, yes. And I know that April has some great plans. So it's very exciting.
And I really would love to see some things with some of those unique patterns that from the material. I don't know if they've ever played with that, but I would, you know, I think that is a very, you know, I'm seeing it more and more, like Nicole Lim. She was a guest, and she'll be at the Arise and Shine. When she's in Kenya, she gets garments made customized to her. And I see her all the time on her Instagram with skirts, shirts, bags. They're beautiful and they're really stylish. So
they are. For one of our last events, I actually purchased from Worth some, they call them conga, by the way, that material.
Okay.
In Kenya, they call it the conga. Yeah, we purchased several hundred bags handbags out of that material recently for a conference here, and we used those as conference bags. So they turned out, oh, they were absolutely gorgeous, because you can imagine seeing the conference and there were all different colors. And then, of course, those congas always have like a saying on them, a Kiswahili saying. So it was great. And I've done that twice now for two conferences. And the ladies, they loved it. It supported them. And yet our women, it's a reminder to pray every day that they use those bags.
Yeah, and what a conversation starter, you know, if you're out at the grocery store or wherever, to see this unique bag and to be able to share of God's work through the Salvation Army in Kenya and potentially hopefully inspire some folks out in the public to get involved in the Salvation Army. And
exactly.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities.
And actually, it was funny because the men all wanted them. We made them just for the women, but the men wanted them as well. So we had to produce some for the men because they didn't want to be left out.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. That's cool. You know, when we had our last conference in 2014, and Women's Ministries over here was just really getting into social media around that time. And so we were encouraging all the women, like, as you take pictures all weekend, get on your Facebook and post it and use this hashtag that's unique to our conference. And then, you know, after the weekend was over, men would be commenting on the photos like, what is this event? What's going on? What are we missing out on? When's our event? And they have an annual event. But it was just really neat to see the power of social media when we share what God's doing, whether it's, you know, at these conferences or, like, you know, April in with others is just going on, getting on another level with her social media sharing and promoting. So there's just a lot of, you know, social media can sometimes be this distracting thing, but it also can be used for such good. So.
Oh, yes. It's a great ministry. Mm-hmm. We just have to make sure that what we put on is always God-honoring, and He will take it from there.
That's right. Well, you know, I said let's go all the way up till noon your time, and we're right here 5 minutes left. So I want to continue to respect your time, but I want to give you one last chance. If you have anything to share, now's the time.
Yeah, no problem. But I just want to say I'm so sorry that I can't make it to your conference. I was really looking forward to it. But unfortunately, I can't make it. But just know that I'm thinking of you all and praying for you. And I know that God is going to do great and mighty things when you're all together.
Oh, thank you. And our hashtag for the event is Central Women Arise. So be sure to check that out around October. And you might feel like you're there with us when you see all the social media posts. So
I will definitely do that. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on the Prepare podcast and sharing with our listeners. And, you know, our purpose here is to meet with women of faith and in ministry to learn from their experiences to help us and prepare us in our faith pursuits and callings. And I know that our women will be prepared and helped as a result of this conversation. So thank you again.
You are welcome. Thank you. And by the way, if you need any worth pictures or anything for anything you're doing, don't hesitate to ask. I have a ton.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll be following up soon.
All right.
All right. Thanks again.
God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you again, Commissioner Jolene, for sharing with our listeners. And what you've shared is so important. And we each personally commit to bringing $20 to give to the Sunday morning offering. With our goal of 2018 women at Arise and Shine, we can potentially give over $40,000 to the WORTH program. Come on, ladies, let's do it. Put aside $5 a month until the conference, and you've got your $20 offering. That's less than $2 a week. Make sure you are following us on iTunes so you receive notifications for each month's episode. And if you think other women would enjoy this episode, please write a review for the Prepare podcast so more women can find it. And of course, please share this episode on your Facebook. You can find the link at uscwomensministries.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next month.